I'd just like to turn to Psalm 55. We'll read the first eight verses of Psalm 55. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me. The terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, and then would I fly away and be at rest. Though then, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. The background to this psalm is the time when Absalom tried to steal the kingdom of David. He was egged on in what he did by Ahithophel, who was the grandfather of Bathsheba. And he sought every opportunity, did Ahithophel, to seek revenge against David. And David's required to hasten away in his deep trial and distress. And in his prayer, he says in verse 6, and I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, then would I fly away and be at rest. David looked at himself like a bird caged up. And the dove would be mourning in the cage, longing for the door to open and take to the air and fly away. I want to look at three passages of scriptures dealing with the dove and learning lessons from the dove. The Old Testament saints had a wonderful appreciation of the environment in which they lived and the creatures around them that they shared this world with. And they understood and their peculiarities. The dove is said to be a bird that could fly to great heights and at tremendous speeds. It is estimated they could travel at up to 100 kilometres an hour. It's amazing. It was one of the few birds that could stay in the air on its wings for miles and for hours because it had the unique ability of folding one wing and flying on one wing. And so it would change and rest one and then the other. And so it went forward. It's definitely the symbol of peace and purity. You know, in some countries, when they have a wedding, they release a dove because it's a symbol of purity. But not only that, the dove is known for the fact that when it mates for life. And it's a symbol of purity, of peace and fidelity. So here is David as he thinks of the ark and he said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. Have you, beloved saints, ever been in those experiences where you feel caged up? Burdens and things come upon you? As he goes on in this psalm, he says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he'll sustain thee. You know, there's a great difference between the dove and the eagle. The dove could soar to tremendous heights, and it does it. Does it because its body is made for speed. The eagle can go to tremendous heights too, but the eagle is a symbol of prayer. And what the eagle does is it stretches out its mighty wings and it allows the currents of the air to lift it up to tremendous heights. It doesn't get there by flapping its wings, but by setting its wings to the currents that fly around. You probably know a little bit about gliders. They pull them up by a plane and they let them loose. They cut the rope. The glider has a big long wings. It's very light, and the pilot can sit in those gliders and stay up in the air for 2 or 3 hours. And what they're doing is they're setting that plane to the currents and allowing the currents to lift it above. You know, prayer will lift us above the environment that's so hostile to us as God's people and the testings that come upon us in our life. When we feel, why does this happen to me? Why has this affliction come upon me? Prayer is the answer that would lift us up above the currents of the world. So maybe we need to know what it is to pray, to cast our burdens upon the Lord. Maybe we need the wings of the dove to carry us away, not lifting us above, to carry us away. So I think it's very interesting the way the characteristics of these various animals and birds in the Bible have lessons for us. I want to go to chapter 8 of the first book of the Bible, Genesis, and learn something about the dove. Genesis 8, and we'll read from verse 8. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. And the dove found no rest for the sole of her feet, and she returned unto him into the ark. For the waters were on the face of the earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him. And he stayed for other 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was the olive leaf plucked. And Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And the olive twig in the mouth is a symbol of new life. It's a symbol of promise from the earth that had gone under the judgment of God. There was to spring, as it were, resurrection and new life. And that little dove found no rest for its feet. It couldn't settle on the wet, dry ground. But we read further in the chapter that the raven that was let out first, it never returned to the ark. It went this way, that way. It fed on the dead carcasses around. You know, the lesson that we learn from this is a very important lesson. A lesson that we learned very early in our Christian life. And that was that we were spoilt for the world. God saved our soul and we belong to God. And as Christians, we have those two natures. There's a bit of the raven about us. And we cannot feed on the old things that once satisfied us before we were saved. We were saved young and alive. But the ambitions and things that we want, we realize that they weren't for us. We're saved by grace, and we're left here a little while. And our old companions, fare ye well, I will not go with thee to hell. I mean with Jesus Christ to dwell. And so that's the spirit of the raven. But what about the dove? The dove found no rest. It had to go back to the ark. It will only find our security and rest, our peace, in the ark that speaks of Christ. He's the one that can satisfy us. And so this little dove, so pure, white, so pure, so clean, so delightful, it's a picture to us. Like the rainbow in the sky, it was a symbol of promise as it brought back the twig, the little green twig, the promise of a new life. You know, God's only given us one life. As the poet said, one little life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Can we learn lessons from the little dove? The dove that could find nothing to satisfy its soul in the dead things of the world around us. No, it couldn't. Had to go back to the ark. He's the one who saved us when we saw ourselves as sinners. He's the one that will sustain us in the life of faith. He's the one that will see us through. The journey may be difficult, but he won't fail. He's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. And he's promised that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So may we learn lessons from the little dove. I want to go over to Leviticus, please. Chapter 12. Leviticus 12, and we will read from verse 6. And when the days of her purification, that's the mother that had a newborn baby, the days of her purification are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, and she shall bring the lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priests. Now we esteem highly motherhood. A tremendous privilege to mother and bring children into the world. But under the laws of God, when a baby was born, the mother was ceremonially declared unclean. The reason for this, of course, is a very simple one. The simple reason is that we can only produce our own kind. And when you look at a little baby, I remember when our firstborn was born, we looked upon it, an innocent little child. We thought it was the best one in the world. Everything was perfect. The ears were right. The nose was the right size. Everything was right about it. It was innocent. A beautiful little baby. But we knew that that little child would grow up and one day manifest the fact that it was born in sin. He inherited a sinful nature. And the moment we heard that we were to become a father, we went on our knees and we prayed that the little child would be born safely, that the little child would bring us pleasure, and above all we prayed that the little child would get saved, young and alive. And I believe that's the net lesson that God taught Israel when he declared the mother ceremonially unclean because another little life had been born, but born under the sentence of death because of sin. As by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And so we prayed for our little ones, and we thank God that each of them got saved. Now, we're normal parents, of course. We had many other tribulations to bear and testings to go through in the care and love and teaching of our children. It is a burden. It does bring responsibility. But it's so very important to remember that our little child, beautiful little child, will grow up to need the Saviour. And that's the highest aim in the life of every parent, is to see their children won for Christ. So the mother, or on behalf of the mother, there was brought a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering. Now the burnt offering typifies devotion to God. The burnt offering was holy for God. I believe in chapter 2 of 1 Timothy that speaks of the mother, she shall be saved if she continue in the faith, is a reference back to this very incident. She shall be saved in childbearing, or through childbearing. Meaning, of course, that by her godly faith, God will give her the joy of seeing her children won for Christ. And so here was the mother. She had been shut up for a bit longer for the boys than the girls. Perhaps that's understandable. Boys are bits of rascals at times. But at any rate, when the days of her separation were over, she brought this offering to the Lord. And it was a tender lamb, a burnt offering, an expression of devotion. You know, there was absolute devotion in the heart of Hannah. She knew that Israel needed a man-child, and God gave her that child. And she reared that child for God. And Samuel became God's emergency man for his people in days of difficulties when Israel needed a man to lead them on in God's ways. And so when it came, not only was there the lamb is the symbol of submissiveness. I'm not a farmer and Well, I went to a farm sometime, and one time I was given the knife because this animal, the farmer said, was sick, and he gave me the knife, and I held it in my hand for a while and gave it back to him. I couldn't do it. Take the life of the little lamb. But the lamb doesn't fight. It's submissive. It's a symbol of sacrifice, of submissiveness. It preaches to us the Lord Jesus, who turned not back but went to the cross for you and for me, the submissive one. But the dove, the Lord Jesus said that the dove is we're to be harmless as doves. The dove is the symbol of innocence, of harmlessness. And yet that innocent little dove was taken as a sacrifice for sin. Does it warm your heart? Doesn't it lead you to Christ? Don't you feel like the dove flying over the dead carcass? I'll get back to the ark. I'll get back to Christ. I want to learn more about him. Can we go over to the Song of Solomon, please? These are lessons from the dove. God wants us to appreciate the environment in us we're in. God wants us to learn lessons from the things around and from the experiences that we go through. And so we'll go to a Song of Solomon. Chapter 5 and verse 2, I slept, but my heart wakeneth. It is the voice of my beloved knocking, saying, open to me, my sister. My love, my dove, my undefiled one. For my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of night. Isn't it tremendous? This bride is called by the bridegroom. My sister. You know, that's a birth relationship. We have a relationship with Christ. Because we were born again when we trusted Christ as Saviour. So the sister speaks of birth relationship. And then he says, my undefiled one. And we know all our failings. We know all our weaknesses. We know what we really are. But he doesn't see any of that. He sees us in Christ. He sees us in all the value of his work. We're in Christ. We're accepted in the Beloved One. Isn't that wonderful? Then he says, my love. Now, love in the Bible, divine love, is always sacrificial love. The love that's in the world, it's pathetic love, it's selfish love. I had one of the ladies that worked for us, she came to me one day and she said, I want to have a talk with you sometime. I said, well, you can talk with me now if you like. Come in and tell me what it says. She says, my husband told me last night that he doesn't love me anymore. I said, you know what he's done? He's made a choice. He chose to do that. Love is a choice. And you know, the Lord Jesus chose to go to Calvary for us. His love was sacrificial. And so he says of the bride, you're my love. You're the one I've sacrificed everything for. Love is a choice. We were undeserving, but he loved us. And then he says, my sister, my love, my dove. Now the dove, as I said, it mates for life. It's a symbol of fidelity. And here she trusts him fully. He had won her heart. And he said, you'll never go back. Further over, he speaks of the love of the bride as his love. And he says, you are the only one. I ought to think of the bridegroom looking upon the bride and saying, my love, my sister, my dove, you are the only one. There's only one in his life. And that's the church. He came from heaven to die. You know, it was the bird from heaven came for us and went to Calvary. So we were. Yes, the time's almost up. So we thought about the dove at the ark. And the lesson we learned is that we have these two natures, but we can never be satisfied. You go back to the world and you'll never be happy. You'll never be satisfied. Your safety, your all, is in the ark. a figure of Christ. So we thought of the dove and the ark. We thought of the dove and the altar and the sacrifice he made as our sin offering. But here's the dove as the symbol of affection. How do you respond? I tell you, the Lord loves you. It's the same yesterday, today and forever. He has looked upon you as a believer in Christ, as one who belongs to Christ. And he says, you're my sister, my undefiled one, my love. You are my dove. How do you respond to that? Do you say, I am my beloved's?